Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Dermot and Dave.
Mind yourself now. Mind yourself now.
Mind yourself now.
Mind yourself now.
On Today FM.
So are your kids coming in at night and waking you? Maybe you've got potty training and bedtime concerns. Well, good news. Our resident kids sleep expert, Kelly Gagan from sleepystars.ie, is here to answer all your questions. How are you, Kelly?
Hi guys, how are you?
Very well. Never a shortage of questions for you. You're always in demand, as I'm sure you know, having a successful Sleepy Stars business. Let's kick it off with teething, shall we? Lauren Donegal says, we're usually having the naps in the cot, but during teething, we have no joy. Is it okay to use the pram or a drive?
Absolutely, no problem whatsoever. Take the path of least resistance is what I'd say. Choose your battles wisely. No problem there.
Because I remember when my eldest fella used to, he needed a drive for his nap when he got to a certain age, every single day, driving round in circles, looking in the rearview mirror going, can I go home and leave him in the driveway with the gate closed or whatever? But yeah, as you said, whatever is the least resistance is the one to do. Another one about teething says, I have a 13-month-old who's waking multiple times at night. Seems to be due to teething. He sleeps in the bed with me and is still breastfeeding. How can I get him to sleep more even while he's teething and seems to wake to be comforted?
Okay, so with 13-month-old, you have to tick all the boxes first. And let's face it, like, babies are going to be teething till about 24 months. So, you know, they're going to go through bouts of it. Some will be good, some will be bad. Some pop up teeth and you don't even know. You're like, another one? And then others, your neighbor knows they're cutting a tooth. Okay, so what I would say is make sure that it is just teething, that, and that's why the baba's unsettled. So with a 13-month-old, you're looking at a mini morning nap and a big chunky big nap in and around 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. And also, is this baby being fed to sleep? When a baba's fed to sleep, they often look to be fed back to sleep when they wake, which can be confused with teething. So I double check all those things. Of course, you cuddle and love and help a baby when they're not feeling well. When I finish with clients, one of the most important phone calls I do is, right, we know how to sleep, let's protect it. And we talk about how we protect the sleep around teething and sickness so that we don't slip backwards.
Bedroom temperatures are something that comes in every now and again. There's a good one in just basically asking you, what is the best way to keep the kids' room cool during the summer? Is there a right temperature the room should be? We've got blackout blinds. I don't want to have the window open, but I find the room gets quite stuffy in the summer. That can be an issue, can't it?
It's definitely an issue with, like, new builds. You know, they're quite well insulated, which is great in the winter, but, you know, it can be troublesome in the summer. So the ideal room temperature is between 19 and 21, and we actually all sleep, children and adults, better in a deeper sleep and a lower room temperature, so around the 19 degrees. So when I work abroad in hot countries with families, I'll often either blast the aircon or open the windows before bedtime to let a bit of fresh air circulate and then close everything off. If you have a safety latch on your window and you're in a secure place, you can obviously leave a crack open but put the child lock on the window, or invest in a little fan. I would have a fan that blows hot in the winter and cold in the summer. So if your heating did fail in the winter, you've got a backup so the room's not too cold. But also a nice fan, not directly pointed at the cot, you know, but enough to kind of circulate air around the room.
My five-year-old wakes every night and has big tantrums if we don't get into the bed with her. I'm at my wit's end. So this is probably 90% of the parents listening. It may not be five. It may be, in my case, age 10. What's going on here? How can we fix it?
I'd say there's a level of confusion here. And possibly this child falls asleep with the parent present and looks for the parent then when they wake up. So they can wake up and get a little bit of a fright and look for the parent. So I would look at how they fall asleep. Also, at this age, they, you know, I would say earn their trust. Say to them, be in the middle of the story time. Say, oh, I forgot to put the bin out. I'll be back in a minute. And just bang, bang, bang on the stairs and come in. Well done for waiting. And that shows what to the child, that you say you come back when you will come back. Okay. Positive reinforcement is also works really well at this age. If you stay in bed tonight, we're going to get to do this tomorrow, something cool and fun, you know, to promote that it is good to stay in bed. And use their teachers and say, now I'm going to tell Miss Mary in school tomorrow that you stay in your bed all night. So get a little buddy to help you kind of encourage. It's a good thing to stay in their own bed.
A little personal one, Kelly, if you don't mind for a second, but my One of my sons showed one of my six-year-olds a terrifying picture on the internet while we were on holidays in East Cork. And
as a Man City lifting the trophy.
Not as terrifying as that. And then, since then, like on holidays, we were cool because she was scared, but we were able to kind of swap around beds and stuff because we're on holidays or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Mm. So we've come back from holidays now, and there's been a couple of nights when she's wanted to sleep with us and a couple of nights when she's happy in her own bed or whatever. At what point am I able to go... Would you just cop on? The thing you saw isn't real. I bet you the answer is never, but that's what I really want to say to her.
I would say you have to be consistent. What happened there is a little bit of confusion. Oh, you're scared? And you did the right thing. Oh, you're scared? Come on into this bed, or I'll put you over here, or you can lie on the cool mattress on the floor,
yeah.
Whatever it is. And now, basically, that they can take that and run with it. And now it's like, I'm scared. It's like after sickness. They're so cute. They're like, I have a pain in my tummy. You're like... you've been sick for 2 weeks, so you're having a laugh, you know, or I'm hungry. And you're like, are you? I'm not sure. So, you know, you kind of question yourself. So I would say, you know, lots of reassurance and positive reinforcement, then say, no, now you're okay. I'll come if you need me, but you must stay in bed and be consistent. But it's difficult at 4 a.m. where you're like, get in,
yeah.
Just get in,
okay.
You know. But that doesn't help things then the next night.
No, that's very true.
Sleep regression seems to be a thing amongst our listeners, children. So here's one. I have a 21-month-old who up until 3 weeks ago was sleeping all night and having a good daytime nap, easy to settle. Just plonked him in the cot, said goodnight, closed the door, no bother. And then boom, he just stopped. He sleeps an hour in the day if lucky, and putting him down for a nap in bed is so difficult. He must be read to, stories sang to, wakes multiple times at night, needs constant reassurance. We've tried practically everything. I've read about sleep regression in this age group. Please help.
So I don't actually believe in sleep regressions, and that's something my followers know. I believe in developmental leaps. The reason I don't believe in sleep regressions is because none of the children I ever worked for long term ever regressed, and I didn't drug them. So, you know, what happens was they went to bed independently so that they could go back to sleep independently. At this age group, they go through a little development leap. They're learning things, you know, words are coming in, but you need a big chunky nap. An hour is not enough. If you have an overtired child at bedtime, you've got a difficult bedtime. And this can happen at 16 months, 18 months, 21 months. At the moment, I just finished off with two cases, 23-month-old little boy who was having 6 bottles of water at night, 21-month-old girl who was having 3 bottles of milk at night, multiple wakes. And they were like, they were grand all the way up to this age. And then it just all fell apart. Okay, so what happened? Well, they woke up, couldn't get them back, gave them a drink of water or milk. Then it happened again the next night and the next night. And all of a sudden you're in this like vicious circle that you can't backpedal from. So you have to ensure your day is in the right place. And then you can sleep train if needs be and teach them how to stay in the bedroom. But they need a level of comfort as well to know that you're still there.
Yeah, makes sense. This is an interesting one. A very small baby, a 4-month-old, is very restless at night, shuffling and twisting side to side a lot in his sleep, kicking legs, etc. We try to get wind up. He's a breastfed baby, but often can't get any wind up.
Well, babies kicking and moving and passing windy bottoms, like when I work nights, it's like sitting beside like an old man who's drank loads of Guinness. Like you're like, what's going on here? You know, they're kicking the legs, they're shuffling, they're moving. That's okay. If there was a high level of discomfort, baby would be crying.
Mm.
Your baby's probably just passing through sleep cycles, yes, digesting, but nothing I would be worried about unless I seen a high level of discomfort.
Okay, that makes sense.
I have a 3.5-year-old little lady. She often wanders into our room 2 or 3 times a night. She doesn't fight or cry. She just wants to be picked up and placed back into bed. Do kids do that? And that actually seems to happen with my 10-year-old. She's not frightened of anything. She's not worried. She just comes in and sort of stands there like some kind of ghost at the side of the bed.
Paranormal activity,
yeah.
Child.
Daddy! Until you bring her back, plunk her into her bed, by which time she conks back straight away, and I'm there staring at the ceiling thinking, I'm going to go from work in an hour and a half. Why do they do that?
This is very common. This is called parent to sleep. So you can have suited to sleep, bottle to sleep, car seat to sleep, whatever it is that sends a child to sleep. If it's only once in a blue moon and it happens, no biggie. But if it's happening many times at night, that means that your child is reliant on your contact or seeing you in order to go back to sleepy town. So again, positive reinforcement. At an older age, they're going to sit up. And if you've kind of laid out what's going to happen the next day, they might think about it before they actually step out of the room. Also, putting a baby gate outside their bedroom door will keep them safe, because I have heard of children who go, oh, they just keep marching me back to bed, so I'll go down to the kitchen and make toast. You know, I'm talking like 4 year old. So having a baby gate outside the door will mean that they know that they can still call for you, but they can't go any further. So the further they go, the further you have to march them back. Some will go back quite easily and some will have a full-on tantrum on the floor, and that can make things a little bit difficult.
A little bit difficult. I can imagine Dermot putting a baby gate up for his 10-year-old going, now, you stay there, as she leaps over it and lands on his bed.
Yeah.
Kelly, you're doing you're a trained emergency medical technician, and you're doing a webinar on pediatric first aid on June 26th at 10 a.m. For anyone who's interested, you can go to sleepystars.ie for more details. That's a great thing to do. Thanks, Kelly, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, guys.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Dermot and Dave.
Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.